I inscribe my vision. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. This is thought number 1000 for this series. I inscribe my vision. What does it mean to inscribe our vision? Well, we know that signs are inscribed. The Ten Commandments were inscribed on stone. Many things were inscribed. Well, to inscribe means to make as permanent as you can a statement or an inscription of some sort. Inscription, inscribe, see how they go together. So, what kind of inscription and inscribing are you going to do for yourself? One of our students, a very remarkable young man, has written a letter to us today, and in that letter he described some of the things that take place in his life, some of the wonderful miracles that have happened, some of the wonderful events that have happened, and then he described some of the limiting things that had happened, and that's fine too. But what he described best was a very dear person that he met who was very impressive to him. He said he has met a master. And this man has traveled the world and teaches throughout 180 countries or something of that nature, and is a very remarkable man. And he has a program that his followers inscribe in their consciousness with all of their love and attention and practice it. And he said that program is going to guide people to be the master that they are, to be the spiritually illumined person that they are. And as I listened to him, and I heard what he said, I thought, I wonder what the program teaches. I wonder what sort of things it brings to one's attention. Now, many followers throughout the world have gained great respect for this man and have followed what he has said with great interest, but here is this wonderful young man, our student, who is telling us that he experienced him while visiting in India. And now he has to make some very definite changes in his life. He's come into a low period in his life, and he has to sell off his holdings and so forth, and he has to sort of start from scratch again. He says, but he goes up and he goes down, and he goes up and he goes down. Well, I would imagine that he would go up every time he finds some philosophy that turns him on, and he goes down when he doesn't practice it. You see, when you know the rules, you have a fear in your consciousness that you will be caught if you violate the rules. You understand that? Mm-hmm. If you know the rules of the road, you are afraid you'll be caught if you know you're going over the speed limit. You drive merrily along, you're going 80 miles an hour, and you don't think a thing about it, and other cars are whizzing by you even at 80 miles and better, and you just buzz along, and then all of a sudden you look down, and you, woo-wee, I'm over the limit. And you would draw your foot back, and you put her in cruise control, so you stay whatever the limit is. But, ooh, and you look surreptitiously, looking to see if there's a cop around, to see if there's a highway patrol or somebody who's going to catch you. You see, when you know the rules and you don't practice them, you live in a state of constant fear. And that state of constant fear is one that you will be found out that you're not practicing the rules that you know. Now, young ladies go to charm school as they are young ladies. And when they're in their teens, they go to charm school and they learn to walk with a book on their head, which is a very excellent posture. It keeps their back straight, their neck straight, their chin out, their breasts up and their butt in, and just keeps them walking in a very noble, beautiful way, in a stately way, in a charming way. Now, when a girl has gone to charm school, and she sags, people say, I thought you went to charm school. Didn't you learn anything there? Oh, yes. Well, aren't you going to practice it? You see, we so easily forget the things that we've learned. We so easily forget that when we go to charm school, we learn many things that make us a charmingly appearing person, that make us harmonious with society, and not snooty, but just harmonious, where we are living joyously. Now, how many of you pay any attention to how you walk? You just waddle along like a bunch of ducks, you know, and your butts go boop, 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 back and forth without any concern. Now, a lady doesn't do that. A tart does that. A lady who's out after tricks, she's walks with her butt just to sort of, it's like some animals. They wiggle their butts to get the attention of the male so that they will, when they're in estrus especially, so that they'll get attention. Well, now, you know the rules. Whether you went to charm school or not, you heard of these rules. You know what a charming person walks like and talks like and acts like. You know the proper etiquette they have in being loving and wonderful. You know that a lady walks through the door first and lets a man open it, whether it's the king or whoever it may be. It doesn't matter who the person is. The man is always going to be a gentleman and open the door for the lady. And the lady's always going to walk through graciously and not say, "Oh, you go first, sir. You're God, you know." Well, everyone is God, you know. But you're learning the female and the male responsibilities in living in your human body. Now, here these are such simple, wonderful, loving attitudes. And do we practice them? Unfortunately not. And the reason we don't practice them is that we don't think they're important. We don't think it's important to walk with dignity and charm. When the queen walks in the door, she's been well trained. She doesn't miss a beat. All of her, and the prince, Prince Diane, you could be sure, even though she wasn't raised that way, when she became the princess, she certainly had to be taught by her mentors how to act like a princess, although she was a lady first, you see, and acting like a princess was not far ahead of that. But acting like a princess, you have to act like you belong wherever you go, and you're respected wherever you go, and wherever you go, people love you. Wherever you go, my goodness, doesn't that sound interesting? Wherever you go, people respect you. Wherever you go, people look up to you and they say, "Your Majesty, Your Highness, Your Royal Beingness, you know, Queenie," you know, whatever they say. Why don't we like that for ourselves? Now, if it's good enough for the Queen, it certainly should be good enough for us to put those things in practice in our life and live that as part of who we are. Now, is this part of who you are? And unfortunately, no. Because if it were part of who you are, you'd be doing it. And are you doing it? No. Do you think that when you walk into a room, everyone is delighted to see you there? Everyone is delighted in your presence? And the answer is no. Don't you tell me yes, because I have seen you walk into a room so downcast and so belittling yourself. Well, do you walk in with your chin up and your chest out and your butt in? Do you walk in with your straight back? Do you walk in with manners? When you sit down, do you sit down on the back of the chair flopping back, you know, or do you sit properly? I'm not saying that you should act like some society person, but I'm saying, what respect do you have for yourself? And whatever respect you have for yourself, others will have for you. Remember that. Whatever respect you have for yourself, others will have for you. Now, let's take that all the way. Whatever knowledge you have for yourself, others will respect in you. Whatever attitudes you have in yourself, others will respect for you. Now, do you have the attitude that there are sick people in this world? Do you have the attitude there are poor people in this world? Do you have the attitude there are handicapped people in this world? Do you have the attitude that there are people in this world who need your help or anybody's help? If you do, then you're not a master. You're not a master. You're so far from being a master that it's interesting, you know. Now, when the queen walks in, everyone curtsies, everyone bows. They bow to her position and her formality. Well, now, you can be a queen too, and you don't have to have the name, but you have the consciousness. You can be a king too. You can be a prince or a princess. You can be anything you want with merely the consciousness. What consciousness are you inscribing on your mind? What consciousness are you inscribing with your vision? What do you see yourself as? Do you see yourself as a super being? Not superior to anybody else, just a super being. That sounds good, doesn't it? Do you see yourself as a competent being in any area you choose? Do you have time to do whatever anyone asks you to do, even though theoretically you might be busy? If you do, then you're a master. A master always has time to do whatever anyone asks of him. It doesn't matter what it is. A master doesn't create people asking of him things that are not his choice, because he does not attract it to him. Who would think of asking the queen to pick up the broken glass off the floor, you know, if the queen dropped her wine glass? But she wouldn't do that. She wouldn't do that. She holds everything perfectly, and she's in balance. And if the queen is not feeling in balance one day, she doesn't go out. She stays at home and gets her balance in order. She doesn't say she's sick. She just says she has some other responsibilities she's taking care of. Isn't that nice? I have some other responsibilities I'm taking care of, and I won't be available today or tomorrow or the next day, you know. Now, you see, when we have that consciousness, I said when I came back from my trip that my throat was a little sore, and I wanted to take a couple of days to rest. Now, I should have just said, I'll not be available for 3 days. I have some other things I want to take care of. Tuck! But the moment I said my throat was sore, people thought of my throat being sore. And people thought of oh dear, we'll treat for you here, we'll bless you, and we'll love you. Shut up, you know. You don't want anyone's consciousness in a negative way in your world. You want anyone's consciousness thinking that you have a sore throat, or that you have a cold, or you have anything like that. Always you are on top of it. When you are unable to speak because of a sore throat and you're making a formal appearance, go there and say nothing. Go there and say nothing. Nod and be cordial and be friendly, be loving. And you can even touch another person, but you don't have to say a thing. And you blow their minds. And you will have your perfect voice. But be master of yourself at all times. You see, what are you inscribing in your consciousness? Are you inscribing in your consciousness with your vision, with what you look at the world, beauty and goodness, joy, peace, and honor? I teach you self-discipline. I say, whenever you take a pillowcase off a pillow, immediately put another pillowcase on it, or don't take it off. Whenever you take bedding off of a bed, immediately put other bedding on, or don't take it off. Because it doesn't matter, because it doesn't matter, because that's the principle, that's the rule. And if you have to know why a rule is a rule, then you are not a master. You are a master when you just follow the rules without having to be told why. You understand? That's a hard thing to accept. It's a hard thing to know, but it's what is the fact. When you're a master, you don't have to be told why anything. You just do whatever is right. Now, what are you inscribing in your consciousness? What sort of things are you inscribing with your vision? Are you inscribing the ideas that I am a master, I am happy, I am healthy, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, I am a beautiful being, I am loved by everybody, and I love everybody, of course, and wherever I go, people immediately see right through me to who I am, my divinity. Everyone sees right through me to who I am, my divinity. Everyone expects me to act divine, because I am divine. Everyone expects me to be that which I am. And that's very nice, very nice. Are you ready to be that which you am and be it right now? Well, you can. It's up to you. Whatever choice you have. Now, who's in control of your world? When you can say, I am, and who sets the rules in your world? I do. And who follows those rules? I do. Are there any rules in my life that I don't like? No, or else they wouldn't be there. You understand that?
Yes.
There would not be a rule in your life that you didn't like if you didn't want it. Because you want the speed limit so that everyone will drive harmoniously and you know what to expect from other people, right? Mm-hmm. Now, Rex loves to go for walks with me. He loves to be free. And he loves to be on the leash. He loves to be right with me, walking with me closely. And when I put him on the leash here so that we can quietly talk, what's the first thing he does? He comes over and crawls on my feet. You know? And he shows his love. He shows his caring. But when he's free, then he goes and acts like a puppy. What we think he should do. Oh, isn't that cute? Oh, isn't that charming? Oh, look at that, how they do that. And is that what we want? Or do we want them to be mannerly? You got to start someplace. The sooner you start in training your dog to be a master of himself, the sooner he is. The sooner you train a child to be master of itself, the sooner it is. The sooner you train yourself. Now, you say, well, here I am past 25. That's true. And it's never too late. Because if you have 10 minutes to live, and you live that like a master, wow. If you have 10 days, 10 years, 10 lifetimes to live, and live each one as a master, wow. Inscribe that with your vision on your consciousness today, because that's who you are. And I must be that, because that's how I see you. Ha, 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 ha. Isn't that wonderful? I love you. I love you.
I love you.